From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, even though we have what many would describe as the most contentious Supreme Court nomination in history behind us, the left remains unhinged in their opposition. Abortion was a prominent issue in the opposition to Justice Kavanaugh, but religious liberty is an issue that is going to be one of the hottest topics before the current court. We'll talk about that a little later with Kelly Shackelford of First Liberty. But first, to go a little deeper in the radical, no-holds-barred opposition from the left, we'll be joined by someone who was in the eye of the storm, Senator Chuck Grassley, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, joins me in just a moment. And as we've been saying across the country, the drag queen story hours, these programs held at local libraries, is one of the latest well-organized efforts of the radical LGBT movement to indoctrinate young children. We'll be joined by Pastor Rich Penkowski with Warriors for Christ Ministries with a case that actually happened in my home state of Louisiana, Lafayette. And there are some activist in Austin, Texas, that want to kick Celebration Church out onto the street. Joe Champion, founding pastor of Celebration Church in Austin, Texas, and Leah Patterson, attorney with First Liberty, is here to explain why. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. Let me remind you to take the pledge. The pledge. That's right, the pledge. The pledge to pray, to vote, to stand, to pray for our nation, to vote your biblical values, and to stand for the transcendent truths upon which this nation was built. Pray, vote, stand. Go to PrayVoteStand.com and take that pledge. Share it with your friends. Or you can go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. And by the way, if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at T. Perkins. Okay, the world watched on as we witnessed incredible scenes around the confirmation process of now Justice Brett Kavanaugh. We heard screams, we heard howls, we saw protests, we saw people clawing, literally clawing at the door of the Supreme Court. We saw what I would describe as anarchy in the confirmation hearings. I mean, it was unbelievable. Well, with us now is the man who was really in the eye of the storm, who was trying to lead this process and did successfully lead this through the process. In fact, the president pointed him out the other night and gave him a shout-out at the swearing-in at the White House of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. He is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He is from the state of Iowa, Senator Chuck Grassley. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. Always glad to be with you, and thank you for your conservative point of view that you get out regularly, and I listen to all you have on your agenda for today, and it's all very appropriate.
Well, thank you, Senator. And let me first, before we start, say congratulations and add my voice to those who say I think you did a remarkable job of trying to keep a process that others were determined to blow up, and you kept it on track, and you got the president's nomination through the process, and you deserve a debt of gratitude to the American people for doing that. So thank you.
Your listeners are people that believe in the power of prayer, and it was in stressful times to have people say that they were praying for you. It was really a comforting situation. So thanks to all your listeners that may have been doing that to support us back here in Washington.
So let me just start with this, Senator Grassley. Were you surprised as soon as you dropped the gavel and called the committee into session for the confirmation hearing, it just looked like, if I can use the term, it looked like all hell broke loose.
Well, let me say, for the 3 months we went through this, we had a fair, thorough, and respectful process. It didn't start out that way, as you just indicated. But by contrast, the left eventually became an angry mob. And some of that anger was expressed in the efforts of Democrats on my committee to stop the hearing even before it started, or at least at the drop of the gavel.
what do you see as the fallout of this? Because, I mean, look, I made this, I think I talked about this earlier. I know earlier in the week I did. I saw the number somewhere short of just shy of 400 arrests from the protesters at the confirmation hearing and then at the confirmation vote. Compare that to Sotomayor in Kagan, where they were like a total of 4 arrests. I mean, this is unprecedented, the opposition that we saw.
Well, I think it's bigger than what you just saw in regard to Kavanaugh's nomination and the angry mob and everything. There is less civility in American society than we traditionally had. Some of that's reflected in Washington because we're a reflection of the grassroots. And so that's why you had a senator say, get in their face. You have a Maxine Waters, a congresswoman, saying, get in their face. Even at the restaurants, you see Cruz attack. You see the president's press secretary attack, so they have to leave their eating. So what I would like to look to the future, and I'm not trying to avoid your question, but I think people that are in public office, even Chuck Grassley, ought to set a high standard of civility, and hopefully that improves civility in the American society as a whole. So there may be a fallout. It could get worse, as your question might imply, but I'm going to look to the future and think of things getting better. And then in regard to a lot of people saying, well, it might be reflected in the Supreme Court having less public support than it normally has. Let me take you back 28 years to Clarence Thomas. I heard the same thing then. And then I look back at 28 years of Clarence Thomas, and I see no attempt by him to take retribution against the people that said, as he described it, a high-tech lynching. And so we've had all this fallout from Kavanaugh, but I expect Kavanaugh to be the same justice on the Supreme Court that he had, bring a tremendous reputation to this hearing, and then in turn to the Supreme Court, now that he's on it, of collegiality and interpreting law and not making law, not being a super legislature, and having the respect of his colleagues on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. So I don't want to accept what your question implies, that maybe there isn't a better future. At least I'm going to try to make it a better future, and I think Kavanaugh is in a position to do that on the court.
Well, I, in fact, he made that point Monday night at the White House in the swearing-in. He made very clear in his remarks that he was not going to be tainted by this process, that he was going to be fair and objective in every case that came before him, which is what we expect. But I do think that there is a level of, you talked about incivility, there is this strain that I've not seen before, and I've not been around as long as you have in the political process, but I've been around a quarter of a century when it comes to the politics, and I think there is a less respect for human for our fellow human being, and I do think we've got to restore that. But I'm very concerned at, you know, there seems to be no self-reflection from those that just went through this process. In fact, I mean, we hear comments from Hillary Clinton and others. Basically, we've got to continue to march forward. We got to pack the court. They want to increase the number of justices to 11. Which, by the way, I want to ask you: do you think that would ever happen? Is that something that you could see happening, where they can dilute the conservative constitutionalists that are on the court by packing it?
No. And I don't think it even get 100% Democrat support. And I know it's coming from the liberal left, but there's a few sensible people still in the Congress who are Democrats. But I think your question's very appropriate right now as we go 28 days into the next election. And if people want to make sure that mobs don't rule in this country, November's a chance for Americans to reject mob rule. And I think one of the rallying cries of conservatives in this election is remember Kavanaugh and move ahead from that.
I think you're absolutely right.
We're not tired of winning, and we should not be tired of winning. And we're going to have 3 more nominations hearings on these judgeships. We're going to continue to process judges, even though they aren't Supreme Court justices. We got 41 on the counter right now, and the Senate should stay in session as long as we need to get all these people confirmed even before the election.
And I do think that the Kavanaugh hearing and all of, you know, the whole blow up and everything that took place there, Senator Grassley did put before the American people the importance of the court once again, much like it did in 2016. And this is a generational issue, because what we saw as I was sitting there in the White House the other night, it was very clear. I mean, this was a historical shift of, after nearly 60 years or more, the court actually moving back toward operating within the boundaries of the Constitution, as it should. That will have significant implications upon our nation, and then, quite frankly, put more responsibility back onto the Congress to be the body that creates the laws and policies for the country.
Republican presidents have been some of the greatest violators of putting us into the situation where we have an evolving Constitution instead of the strict construction that we want, right, of original intent. Because, you know, Eisenhower put on Brennan. He put on Earl Warren. And then Nixon comes along and puts on a couple people from Minnesota, that one of them writes the Roe v. Wade decision. And then we have H.W. Bush putting on Souter, as an example. Or to some extent, you can even say Reagan made a mistake with Sandra Day O'Connor, although not the worst of it. And look at what Democrats do. They put on these people that stick together, Breyer, Souter, Breyer and Ginsburg and Sotomayor and Kagan. They stick together. So Democratic presidents are much more committed to putting people on that are going to be more ideologically prone to rewriting the Constitution. And now we've got enough people on here that finally are the type that we ought to have.
You're absolutely right. I've never seen a liberal become conservative, but I've seen conservatives become liberal. Senator, thank you so much for joining us today. And again, I want to commend you on a job well done for sticking in there and right in the eye of the storm and directing this process through to completion. So, Senator Chuck Grassley, thank you.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
All right. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, he is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. If you watch him, it's amazing, just the opposition that was there. All right, folks, a lot more to come as we focus on this issue of religious liberty. Now, you may have heard about it, the Drag Queen Story Hour movement. It's making its way into communities and all across the country, going into public libraries. They're seeking to shape the minds of our children, influencing them. Well, it came to my home state of Louisiana, in a conservative area, Lafayette. Rich Pinkowski with Warriors for Christ. Well, they're pushing back. He joins me next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. More to come right after this.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. And by the way, take the pledge. Have you taken the pledge? The pledge. The pledge to vote, to pray, to stand, to pray for our nation. Vote your biblical values and stand on the transcendent truths that this nation is built upon. Go to PrayVoteStand.com. PrayVoteStand.com and take the pledge with thousands of others that are standing for the truth. All right, once upon a time in 2015, a writer in San Francisco named Michelle T. got the idea for Drag Queen Story Hour, men in full drag reading children's books to kids and parents in programs aimed at radically influencing young children. I mean, think about that for a moment. Schools will not allow prayer and Bible in the schools because they say children are too easily influenced, and we can't expose them to that type of stuff. But yet we can expose them to men in drag reading children's books. I mean, this is designed to desensitize them. This movement has been making its way around the country. In fact, it made its way to my home state of Louisiana. The Lafayette Public Library scheduled a drag queen story time for October the 6th, but the event was ultimately canceled because there were some who stood up against it. They stood up against this radical agenda. Here to tell us more is Pastor Rich Pinkowski with Warriors for Christ Ministries. Pastor Rich, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Let me ask you first, were you surprised when the announcement was made that this was coming to Lafayette, this Drag Queen Story Hour?
I was, and only because Lafayette was considered to be, the seventh best place for Christian conservatives to live. So it was absolutely surprising and just almost unreal that it was happening there.
So what was the first response? How long did it take for pastors to say, "Hey, wait a minute, not in our community"?
As soon as I had found out about it, I immediately started a petition. Not a petition, but I started putting the call out there through social media that we were going to go, we were going to protest this event, we were going to pray against it, And we had a overwhelming response from all over the country. People were literally saying they were going to come from all over the country to stand with us and pray against this. And the backlash we received from that from day one from the college students was messages of hate and things, you know, threats of violence. They were threatening to sodomize me. And we had forwarded all that to the police. But their response was pretty bad.
Yeah, let me just tell you, Rich, I'm not surprised by that. We see it all the time. Of course, you know, they project onto, you know, to Christians and conservatives their own hate and hostility. But, right. I mean, this really is about children. And it amazes me, as I said a moment ago, that and back in my time in the legislature, I know that as we worked on certain things, we were always told, well, you know, we have to protect children because they're so easily influenced. We can't expose them to things like the Bible because that would be taking advantage of them. But yet we can expose them to men in drag reading, you know, innocent children's stories. I was interested by the response by the library. The library is saying, well, you know, we're open to anyone reading, and we just want to have these programs for kids. So I wonder, how have they responded to, you know, the churches saying, hey, we'll be happy to come in and read? Have they opened the door to the churches to do that?
No, they didn't. As a matter of fact, that's one of the first things we did was call the library and say, hey, listen, we'd like to book an hour to give the contrary position that we are created as male and female, that God created us this way, that there is no deviation from that. And they had told us no, and we tried four times. So we had filed a federal lawsuit, and they had caved in and finally did give us an hour. But what happened was when we got there, now there were six of us in a group in the lobby, and one person in the group quoted one scripture, not loud, not obnoxious, and the library told us that quoting scripture is not allowed in that public library. And yet, the drag queen...
Does it not come from a book?
Well, that's what we have it on video. But that's what she told us. And she said it falls under because that library has a ban on proselytizing. But apparently that ban only seems to apply to Christians because drag queens, when they go out there and they're reading these books to these kids, that is a form of proselytizing because they're trying to sway their opinion towards their side.
Absolutely. That's what this is all about. It's about recruiting and proselytizing. But the fact that you quote a scripture, that's proselytizing? Mm-hmm.
That's what she had said.
So where do things stand now, Rich?
Well, we had gotten the event canceled, and I knew the cancellation before the media picked up on it because the police captain had called me himself and told me it was canceled, and I believe that was because of the threats and whatnot that we had received because I did get him a copy. So we had got our hour, and they were waiting for us. The people that supported this. They were waiting for us there. We showed up for our hour, and they swarmed us. They were all around us, filming us, trying to intimidate us. They came into our meeting room, so I sat down with them, and I said, "I'm here. You know, you guys keep saying these things about us, about Christians and whatnot. Let's have a dialogue. Let's have a conversation." And I'm sure you can imagine how well that went.
Well, I think it's important that we do offer to sit down and talk and have conversations. I think that's part of the problem in our culture today is there's not this dialogue that's taking place. Although I would say there are some that have made up their mind they don't want to hear the truth, and that's why we see this shutting down of debate where we could have discussions. I mean, I think it'd be great for the library to host a conversation between the drag queens and those that are standing for traditional biblical values and quite frankly science, which says we are created male and female.
And that's what we want to do, but again, like you said, some have their mind made up already, and you could see that if you watch the video. But you know, we had given the video to Thomas More Law Center, who's looking into whether there is a First Amendment violation. But I also just quickly want to say what we have learned from this is the way the drag queens spin this is that it's nothing more than people dressed in a costume as a community outreach program. So they're absolutely selling this under the false pretense of, you know, condoning and endorsing literacy, when in reality, it's nothing more than LGBT propaganda to three-year-olds.
Well, and I asked them, maybe you should dress up in a costume like We got to go, Rich. But maybe you should dress up in a costume like Moses and see if that works for them. All right, Rich Pinkowski, thanks so much for standing. Hey, folks, don't go away. When we come back, another case out of Texas. Pastor joins us from there. Don't go away.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Website, TonyPerkins.com, on Twitter, at T. Perkins. All right, the Austin School District is considering limiting the use of its Performing Arts Center by outside entities amid protests by LGBT activists who say the district is renting the facility to a church that opposes gay marriage. In other words, they believe the Bible. Celebration Church has been holding services in the Performing Arts Center in the area of Austin, Texas, since August the 26th, but now some are angry over the church's stated position on natural marriage. With us now is Joe Champion, founding pastor of Celebration Church in Austin, Texas, and Leah Patterson, attorney with First Liberty Institute. Joe, Leah, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Well, Joe, let me start with you. Each Sunday, you've had protesters, I understand, in front of your building. Is that right?
That's correct. Since August the 26th, 27th, we launched our campus there. We had our first meeting back in Easter in the spring, and word began to travel throughout their network of friends on Facebook, began to just rally their people to come and begin to show up and try to just do what they could in every one of our morning services. We have two services on Sunday.
Now, just so I'm clear on this and so our listeners are clear, you're paying rent to use this
That's
facility
correct.
Like
yeah.
any other outside group would do.
It's a big rental fee, too, as well. It's a great facility. It's a state-of-the-art performing arts center. It's probably one of the best in the country, and so it's an expensive piece of property, which is a blessing to the school district.
And so, have these protests had any impact upon those attending the church? Has it affected your ministry there?
Well, to our knowledge, we don't know if anybody's turned around or if people pull up and might see the activity that with signs, bullhorns. They have engaged in pretty strong language. It doesn't matter the age or the sex. They are very vocal. We've had food trucks, as Austin's known for food trucks. We'll bring food trucks and say even to the protesters, guys, this is available to you. Here's some water. But they're able to stand really close to the entrance of the facility. So they have engaged in conversation or just in kind of a verbal attack of people walking in, especially with their signs and other kind of pretty radical demonstrations. One lady was pouring blood on herself, this fake blood on herself this past week. So as it relates to people pulling out or leaving, we don't know. But, no, our attendance is actually increasing every week.
So, Pastor Champion, has there been any effort by the protesters to interrupt any of your services?
No. In fact, we've been very clear. They're welcome. Anyone's welcome to come in, just like our church has been here for 18 years, by welcoming everybody, and anyone's able to attend. And so we've had some actually pretty cool stories. Yes, exactly. That's what we're in the business for. So
absolutely.
We haven't had anything as far as an issue during the service itself.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've seen lives transformed by those who showed up thinking they were going to protest services I've been at, and only to see their lives transformed by the truth of the gospel, which is, as you said, that's the business we're in. Leah,
that's
let
right.
me ask you quickly. Leah, any legal actions that you have taken to ensure that this church, that Joe's Church, has the same right as everybody else to use these facilities?
Sure. So just a little bit of background. A couple of weeks ago, the Austin School Board declared that they were not going to rent the facility to the church while they revised their policies. And they can revise their policies, but the school board member, a few of the school board members made some statements that indicated the reason was because the school district might disagree with the church's beliefs. And that would be a violation of the First Amendment if they refuse to rent
Correct.
To the church because they don't like what the church says. So in a couple of weeks ago, on a Friday, the Texas Attorney General's office actually issued a letter to the Austin ISD explaining that and explaining all of their legal obligations. The next week, the school district came back and said, you know what, we're going to continue to rent month to month like we did before. So at the moment, we're standing by just in case they have any additional problems. But at the moment, it looks pretty good to go.
Yeah, okay. And the only way they could not rent to the church would be not to rent to anybody. I mean, that's viewpoint discrimination if they prohibit a church from renting just because they believe what the Bible has to say about marriage.
Right. They would have to completely shut down the pack entirely to outside groups, and that would lose a lot of money for the Austin ISD. I don't think they really want to go there. At least I hope not.
Well, Pastor Champion, I want to thank you for standing firm for truth, because this is where the truth needs to go. We need to be able to lovingly say, no, we're going to continue to speak truth, the biblical truth of God's love for every man, woman, and child. And I think when we're intimidated and we back away, that denies people that opportunity. So
yes.
Go ahead. Last thought there before we run out of time.
Well, I was going to say this was just for us. We had no other option. We had no other course. We just feel like this is a stance and a position we must take, and not just for us, but for the 50 some odd other churches that are meeting in the Austin School District's facilities. That if one goes down, maybe they'll start to work on other locations. And a lot of those churches are not in the financial, or not just in the financial, but they're just not in a position to handle any kind of opposition,
right,
as maybe they're brand new startups. We've been in the Austin area for 18 years, so.
Joe, we got to leave it. We got to leave it there. Joe, Leah, thanks so much for joining us. Folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, we talk with Kelly Shackelford at First Liberty. That's next. Don't go away.
Feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. And let me remind you to take the pledge to pray for our nation, to vote your biblical values, and stand. Stand for those transcendent truths upon which this nation was founded. Pray, vote, stand. Go to PrayVoteStand.com and join with others in taking that pledge. All right, we ran out of time there with Pastor Joe Champion and Leah Patterson with First Liberty, and I'm going to continue this conversation here in just a moment with Kelly Shackelford, who's the CEO of First Liberty. And I want to address this because someone's thinking, well, you know, you were just talking about the drag queens wanting to go into the public library, and you were opposed to that, and then you just talked about a church being in a school performing arts center. There's a big difference between the two. Right, the Performing Arts Center, which is like, you know, this happens all across the country. It was a big deal, actually, a few years ago in New York, where the New York wanted to stop renting to churches. And in New York, property is so limited, churches are meeting in these schools a lot. Now, this is an issue of you pay rent. You don't get it. They don't set the stage for you. You rent the facility like anybody else would. You contrast that with what was happening in Lafayette, where the public library was setting the stage for drag queens to be a part of a reading program. They didn't pay. The drag queens didn't pay anything to do it. They were a part of a sponsored program by the library. Much different. And as we were saying, if the school doesn't want the church there, well, they can't have anybody there. You can't have viewpoint discrimination just because one believes the Bible. You can't eliminate them if everybody else can use the facility too. And again, they're paying for it. But this is increasingly, we see this hostility toward religious freedom. But as you hear from on this program quite frequently, there are people all across this country who are saying enough is enough. You know, we're not going to react the way the left acts. We're not going to attack people. We're not going to be vile. We're not going to be angry. We're not going to hate as they have. I mean, as Pastor Joe Champion was talking about, they actually have food trucks come in, offer to feed the protesters, you know. And I go back, contrasting, we were talking earlier, Senator Grassley, in this recent confirmation hearing, I mentioned this, I think, the other day, almost 400 arrests by leftist protesters through the hearings and then through the confirmation vote, almost 400. Contrast that to conservative opposition to Kagan and Sotomayor. There were a total, between the two of them, there were a total of 4 arrests. Big difference, huh? Well, joining me now is Kelly Shackelford. He is the CEO of First Liberty Institute. He has argued cases before the Supreme Court. He is a constitutional expert. In fact, has a couple of cases that First Liberty is working on, religious liberty cases, pending before the Supreme Court. Kelly, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Happy to be on.
Well, we're just talking with one of your attorneys regarding the case in Austin, Texas, with Pastor Joe Champion and the church there. This is increasingly we see this hostility toward religious freedom. The law, almost, you know, 9 times out of 10, is on the side of those exercising their religious freedom. We just have to stand up and defend it.
You're exactly right. I mean, we seem to have every year a record number of cases because they keep increasing. 401 legal matters over the past 12 months. So it's not down, but we're winning. And so it's just a matter of people not being intimidated. I mean, what they're doing is not only standing for their freedoms, to make sure that their kids and their grandkids, you know, are going to have those same freedoms. So when we see government or people that they can start to or shut down religious expression or freedom, people have to be faithful. They have to stand up. And when they do win in these cases, we just have to be willing to stand in those.
And there are a number of cases of examples of that. I mean, we got Coach Joe Kennedy, a retired Marine who was coaching high school football, who was simply taking a knee at the end of the game and praying. And he has a case that you are handling, First Liberty's handling, that is before the Supreme Court, that could end up being a major religious freedom case. And here's a guy who never wanted to be in this spotlight, but he's willing to stand up and defend this fundamental first freedom.
Well, you know, like you, he's a Marine, served 20 years in the Marines, and you know, when they told him he pray. And he was like, well, gosh, I mean, this is fought. And what kind of example for my kids, for these students, am I going to be if the first time somebody tries to push away our freedoms, if you know, I cave in? So he's been faithful. And he knew he's in the Ninth Circuit. That's the most, you know, liberal circuit tree out of San Francisco. He was going to be hostile at the beginning. And we were going to have to go to the Supreme Court. But that's where we are now, at the U.S. Supreme Court. And they've been kind of pushing the case off and waiting, I think, until they got the full complement of judges, justices. Now they've got Kavanaugh, and so hopefully we're going to see here in the next weeks. But Coach Kennedy's a great example of just a regular guy. He knows he's standing not only for every coach, but really for every American when it comes to whether they can shut down religious freedom in public, which is what they're trying to do.
There's another case that First Liberty is involved in, Kelly Shackelford, that is pending before the court. In fact, earlier this week, I had Steve Scalise on Majority Whip, who really kind of spearheaded a friend of the court brief among members of Congress. I think we had 109 members sign on to that brief. That case is another one that has significant ramifications. It's the Bladensburg Cross case. It's a World War II memorial that the lower courts have ruled has to come down. And if this is allowed to stand, it is essentially inviting these anti-Christian humanists to go after the crosses in our national cemeteries.
Absolutely. This is a really, as well, it's Bladensburg. It's right outside of Washington, D.C. It's a veterans memorial that was put up 100 years ago. And it was put up in the American Legion, who's our client, as well as even mothers who lost their sons in World War One. The idea that we got a ruling now, the Court of Appeals, that this is all of a sudden unconstitutional, we're going to have to run around tearing down this all over the country, is really unthinkable. When you think of all the veterans' memorials have, you know, whether a cross or Star of David or imagery, and they would all be bulldozed or sandblasted. But it's even more poignant, I think, Tony, because Court of Appeals that issued this ruling within its jurisdiction is Arlington National Cemetery. So if this incident is not overturned, then they're going to literally have to go into Arlington and tear down the large freestanding crosses at Arlington Cemetery. And I just can't imagine that happening. So people think the Supreme Court is definitely going to take a close look at this, and many people are going to take it. But it's been waiting for Justice Kavanaugh, and now the complement of justices, and we should be hearing something here in the next few weeks, I hope.
Well, Kelly, we appreciate all that First Liberty does to defend that first freedom, and just you guys do a great job, whether it's coaches on the football field, whether it's men and women who serve in uniform defending this country and these fundamental freedoms, or pastors simply trying to hold church services. We appreciate the work that First Liberty does.
Thank you, Tony, and I will tell people, if they want to look at any of these cases or even the ones we didn't talk about, the new cases we have with seniors being told that they can't hold Bible studies in their room. So the stuff that's going on is outrageous, but I'm thankful that we have good people standing up. They can just go to firstliberty.org, look at any of the cases, or call us if they need it. We're here to help them free of charge.
All right. Kelly Shackelford, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Kelly Shackelford with First Liberty. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. We just caught up with Kelly, got him on his cell phone, so this quality wasn't all that great. But the point is extremely critical that religious freedom is under assault in this country. Now, it's not like what we see happening overseas. I want to be very clear about that. But there's a correlation. There's a connection. If we neglect this fundamental freedom here today, we could be like Pakistan. We could be like Turkey tomorrow. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, all right? But if we fail to understand the importance of this fundamental freedom, which the founders understood, that is why it's called our first freedom. And in fact, when you go back to the original, actually 17 amendments that were introduced to Congress in 1789, that summer, as amendments to the Constitution in the House, the first standalone personal right enumerated was the freedom of religion and the right of conscience. Went to the Senate, and they combined it with freedom of speech and the press and all that, but there was a recognition that every freedom, hinged upon religious freedom. And you see it. We see it now in the studies. We've talked about that on this program, where it is to the benefit of countries to embrace religious freedom because it creates greater economic activity and stability. It is better for national defense. You don't have the infighting and the potential conflicts when you allow religious freedom. It is good for every sector of society. Now, that's not government-imposed religion of any kind. It is government-recognized freedom of religion, which is what we have in America. Now, people say, well, you're looking for, you know, I hear this from the left all the time, that we want a theocracy. No, they're the ones that want a theocracy. They want a secular theocracy. They want their theology imposed on America. That's not what we want. We want freedom. Now, we believe that as a free society, our decisions can be guided by our faith. And we do not have to sanitize the public square of our beliefs when we go into that public square. It's not like you can just, you know, take your faith off like you would take a jacket and check it at the door. It is a part of who we are. But that's what the left wants. That's what we saw under the Obama administration, that if you had a biblical worldview, that you had to hide it. You had to check it at the door of public service. That is antithetical to what the founders believed. In fact, you go back and read the founders. They understood, John Adams, that our Constitution was made for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. They understood the cement that held the bricks of our republic together was faith, and it was the Christian faith. Now, that said, I believe we have religious freedom. People have a freedom to choose to follow the true God, and they have a freedom not to, and they have a freedom to have other religions. But we don't have to give other religions a priority over the Christian faith because the Christian faith is the majority faith. But that's how so many think. Well, they're a minority religion, so they have to have equity. And so we have to suppress Christianity so that the others have a chance. That's not religious freedom. Religious freedom is the ability for every American to live their life according to their beliefs. And by the way, this is a scriptural principle, and that's where this came from, allowing people to choose. But then as Christians, we're commanded. Paul says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So if you think about it, if something so basic as eating and drinking, now they were talking regarding the sacrifices, I get that, to idols. But if eating and drinking is of such significance that we're to make sure that we do that to the glory of God, so is our work. So is the way we raise our children. So is the way we engage in the culture around us. All of that, every aspect of life is under the dominion of God, the Creator. And everything we do should bring glory and honor. As Christians, everything we do should bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, that begins with a personal relationship. We have to know Him. And if you don't, you can. It's real simple. Just reach out, confess your sins, embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you should be free to do that. And that's what we aggressively argue and defend, is your right either to choose to follow Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness and the new life that He has, or you can reject it. It's your choice. But we will defend that right. Well, folks, just about out of time for today. I want to thank you for joining us. I do want to encourage you to be bold, to be courageous, to stand firm. And if you're challenged, let us know. There are legal groups that want to represent believers who are standing up for the faith. So email me, tony@tonyperkins.com, and be sure and take that pledge. PrayVoteStand.com. PrayVoteStand.com. Take it and share it with your friends. Take it to church. Put it on your social media. Share PrayVoteStand.com. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.